Jenny.
Kristen.
You know that our Super Bowl is coming up. What we
Mother's
like to do.
Day.
Mother's Day. It is approaching. And might I just say, it is also our 10-year anniversary, which is kind of exciting.
So send us flowers, everybody.
Wait, send us flowers. It's weird. We're going to tell you how to do that just right now. If you're still trying to figure out what to do for Mother's Day, look no further than Teleflora. It's a really great choice when you want to send something that feels genuinely thoughtful. Their bouquets are made by local florists and hand-delivered instead of just being packed up and shipped in a box.
I love Teleflora. You know, when I send your mom flowers, and I do believe I owe her some flowers right now because I need to send her some for Mother's Day.
Don't you do it before I do it.
When I do, I always use Teleflora because they're made by like local artists. I know it's going to get there on time. I know it's going to be beautiful. Just sending your mom flowers really like gives your mom, who's always feeling like, am I doing this right? Flowers are like, love you, mom. You are doing a good job. Here's the one day I'll remind you.
Use promo code IMOMSOHARD20 for 20% off bouquets now through Mother's Day. Again, that's teleflora.com. Promo code IMOMSOHARD20. Thanks for joining us at the hashtag IMOMSOHARD podcast. You can rate, review, subscribe to this bad boy. You can follow us on all the socials. You can also see all of this hotness in the realness at YouTube or on stage, which we have a few shows in May. Very excited. We're going to be heading to Texas, which we haven't been to in a long time. We're heading to Minnesota, which we love going back there. There's a couple other cities. Milwaukee, the Pabst Theater, which is where we shot our special. So we can't wait to go back there. And tickets are going. So go to imomsohard.com to get all your fun stuff ready to go because we can't wait.
I hope you guys can listen to me without your ears like bleeding because I am a bit nasally right now. I am doubling down on my North Dakota timbre in my voice because I've got a little bit of a cold.
I always think it's interesting when people have colds because if it's just a little bit, it tends to make their voice a little bit like sharper. And I think it's actually a good thing. Like people have said, like when they sing with a little bit of congestion, they actually sing more on pitch. So I think it's interesting.
Your voice more than you normally, like when your ears are clogged, you're like hearing it from the inside or something. So maybe that, you know, I haven't tried singing, but we just started this podcast. So who knows what's going to happen, you guys.
Let's just stay loose. And
it's very early on in that.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, I've got a very red nose. I look like I'm 7 to 8 years old and rubbing my nose on my sleeve.
Not me. I look young and hot. So if you're listening to this, I look young and hot. And you don't need to go to the YouTube to watch it. Just keep yourself tuned in. I'm in a bikini. I have so many abs. I love my long blonde hair.
I'm running a fever, so I'm just wearing pasties just to keep it legit.
I put out all the time. I'm likable. I'm easy to be around.
My husband complains that I am just an annoying nymphet. Yeah.
He is rolling in the pee is what my, not the pee. The
urine. We're not like that. We're not that interesting.
Hey man,
I'm going to tell you.
Depends on what I get out of it. Never mind. Moving on. So I think today's episode is going to be really fun because we're going to celebrate who I think is like a really worthy hot flash. And I was so sad to hear the passing of Val Kilmer. And then when I started to really think about Val Kilmer, but I just think that he embodies what a celebrity, what a star is.
Yeah.
And we kind of don't have that anymore because of social media. I really feel like those days are gone because now we're like, look at them. They eat cereal just like us. But I kind of don't want to know that these people that I have been in my head as heroes are not like us. I know that that sounds terrible, but I do have this like idea that they're magic. And I think he is. He was from the jump weird and from at the end, bless him, like struggled, but it was also funny to the end. And he is gone way too soon, in my opinion. And like he did. Did you see Top Secret? And it was kind of like Airplane.
Oh, my God.
course. Like,
I remember the guys dancing on the wieners of the ballet dancers, and I was like, that laugh that you can't, like.
Wait, was that in Top Secret?
Wasn't it Top Secret?
I thought that was in Men in Tights.
Oh, maybe.
Was he in Men in Tights? Thank God I brought up his
Men in Tights. Oh, shit. IMDb maybe page. I got it wrong. But I know that Val Kilmer was in Top Secret because he said shit like, she sat down, he sat down and she goes, what's your name? And he goes, Nick. And she goes, how did your dad come up with that name? And he goes, no idea. He was shaving. It's shit like that.
That is not his best work.
For me, it showed that like, because he, after when he died, I realized like this body of work sort of followed us and our age. Because he's yes. quite a bit older than us, but he's like the cool senior in high school. You know what I mean? He was like, and again, being this weird artsy dude that if you didn't see the documentary, it's wonderful. He had literally a VHS camera that he was a little bit of an egomaniac, which I also like because
that's sexy, man.
Yeah, he's unapologetically out there. He dated Cher for 2 years. God, she loved him.
You guys, sorry. She just exploded all over Val Kilmer. I felt very sad. Like celebrities pass and you're like, oh, that's too bad. Or they were great or they were talented. And I had like a deep emotional response to it, partly because I remember like loving him. Like because I loved the Bad Boys, loved Jim Morrison. So Val Kilmer playing Jim Morrison in the Doors. Like I had a Doors sticker on my car. I put it on the Oldsmobile. I don't care.
Great.
I loved him. And then I also was like, oh, he's not that old. But I was also like, oh, if he's like of the age where he could die, that means I'm getting old too. Like all of it was kind of like colliding on me like when I heard about it. Like,
I feel like cancer is the one stupid, unfair thing that can get anybody at kind of any age. And he got it. And it was brutal because it was in his throat and then they hit his vocal cords when they went in to intubate. And that is why he had no voice for the last, 12 years or decade or something. But I do think his body of work speaks for itself because it Absolutely. Wasn't of the beaten. It wasn't of the normal like heartthrob path. And by the way, there are so many movies that I remembered that I was like, oh my God, like Real Genius, The Saint. I mean, if you're not talking about Tombstone, you're not even.
Oh my God. Tombstone's in like my top five of favorite films. Heat is way up there too, which he was in.
He was so good. And he played like the less like, he was like the younger of the boys that were part of the gang. And he was a gambler and like in a bad marriage with Ashley Judd. And they were hot and steamy.
He was such a good actor. And he was one of those actors too that would like embody the character. Like he would gain weight, lose weight, like do whatever he had to. Like he was like so skinny and sickly looking when he played Doc Holliday. And still, like Doc Holliday, obviously a piece of shit, as a person, but how did he make Doc Holliday so damn hot? There wasn't a single girl from like age 10 to 95 that wasn't like yeah, I'd help. I'd nurse Doc Holliday back to health.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'd get one in there before it all shuts down.
Yeah.
Because I want to be his Huckleberry is what I want to be.
100%. Yeah.
He was so sweaty and sick. And I was like, I don't care. I'll take him. No. I got him.
Actually, you do have a lot of friends, Doc. They want you for your body.
Yeah.
Or just your slick, dismissive attitude. But God, it's so hot.
Just be mean to me like that.
I know. My God, he was like, this is what he reminds me of. He's like the American answer to the British great actors. He could like play any role convincingly, adopt accents.
Yeah.
In his prime, I think he was like our Gary Oldman.
He also is so hot in Top Gun that I think we can just... For me, when I saw Top Gun, first of all, Top Gun destroyed me everything I needed to know about my sexuality came through in Top Gun. I was like, yep, I have urges for all of them. Maybe even Kelly McGillis. I felt
that wasn't fair.
Her strengths and her disposition, I found alluring. But then, like all of them, literally. Goose, I was like, he's the fun, loose guy. Iceman takes himself too seriously, but God, but he's so good in the sack. And then, oh like, all of them.
God,
just
Iceman.
Them.
I mean.
Iceman. And then he does the chomp.
With his teeth.
And, teeth, oh, yeah.
And he's got the world's most perfect teeth.
Wonderful teeth. The most wonderful teeth.
And it makes you wonder, because sometimes, like, they say actors that are, like, really nice people play the best, like, a-holes. And that's not, like, across the board, but, like, God, who am I thinking of? I think we're talking to somebody about somebody recently that they're, like, painfully nice, but they're good at playing, like, the villain in things.
I think that's generally kind of true, because I know that, like, the Amy, I get these two mixed up, Amy Adams or Amy McAdams, whichever one was in The Notebook, was in
Rachel McAdams? Girls.
Rachel McAdams. Rachel McAdams is sincerely nice and plays a fantastic mean girl. I think, like, Val Kilmer, I do think there are people out there that were like, yeah, he was a real a-hole to work with. But I'm always wary of who's saying that, because I'm like, or was he just really particular? Or was he just really, like, hot-headed at the time and full of,
which
like,
is
gusto?
Which is gray zone asshole, being very particular.
I don't find that unattractive, I'll be honest.
If he started out, like, his auditioning process and was like, I need water. Take this shit. It's room temperature. I need cold. Like, that's one
like,
thing. But if
just call me your Huckleberry.
But my husband one time said he met Aretha Franklin, and she was like, I'm not walking down that stairwell. It looks cold. And everybody was like, okay, you're Aretha Franklin. You get to say that. Like, you can
float down these stairs for all I care.
Well, let's get a team to carry you, like, down the back way or something like that.
Mariah Carey on the, what's that thing that carries all the boxes? They literally just prop her up on
a dolly.
On a dolly truck. Get to the stage. But I'm like, you know what? Your broad has like a 5-octave range. Maybe you carry her on a dolly. Maybe that's
she's in a tight dress. She's sewn into that dress sometimes.
I don't know that I care. I
don't know.
I just
did we address this? I just heard somebody, I don't know if it was at the Oscars or what. Somebody was, it was a female, was sewn into their dress and had to wear a diaper because they couldn't get it off.
I believe Kim Kardashian has been in that space a time or two. But I don't know that that's. Listen, I guarantee you I'm going to pee in a dress, and it doesn't mean it's sewn into me.
No. And I actually, my husband has a friend, too, who had, like, front row seats at Jersey Devils, and she would wear a diaper because she didn't want to have to get up. Listen,
that all the people in New York City that go to the thing, the drop, they have to wear diapers because there's no bathrooms.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing that because don't know that I trust. It's not something I know how to do. So am I going to trust this thing and just like let loose? Gross. I can't.
I think it's going to feel really uncomfortable. I mean, I'm not somebody that can tolerate sitting with a minor adjustment needed. I have to like adjust that shit, and I don't care who's looking. I'm not going to hang out in a diaper. I would bring like an empty bottle and, you know.
Absolutely not. No. I'm peeing in a diaper before I'm peeing in a bottle because
really?
I'm not going to make it into that bottle. We've talked about this. I am not getting it in that bottle.
I'm getting it
all over my hand. So
someday I'm.
I know
someday,
me.
Someday. I think you're not getting it close enough then. I think.
Jesus Christ. If you are ever taking a bottle and putting it that close to me, we have spent too much time together. We need to walk it back.
Look,
I don't know where that would be the case. I would just pee.
If we're on a boat,
I would put it in your butt.
Chris, you have to put fresh water in my butt. I'm going to say, well, little tit for tat. I'm going to show you can pee in a bottle, Kristen.
I wouldn't. Jen, you're not getting it. I wouldn't be able to pee because I would be dehydrated. And that is why you would have to put the water in my butt. For all of you that are first time listeners, this is a survival skill. When you are on a dinghy on a boat in the ocean and your friend is dying of dehydration, don't make her drink the water. She'll barf it up. Flip her over. Put the water in her butt. Saves her life. Because the absorption through the anus is better than the absorption through the stomach. I'm just saying it for anybody that's never listened to this podcast.
But you have to be so dehydrated to begin with. And I'm saying you would pee some. It might come out like pumpkin pie filling, but you would pee
Ew,
some.
Gross, disgusting.
That would make it easier, actually, for you to get it in the bottle, Chris. And that might be a great way for us to start this.
I think people might actually barf at that. That is just... You know nothing about dehydration. It comes out like... like a little droplet. Like, you wouldn't be able to pee any.
I don't know how much water you think I drink, but I happen to know a lot about dehydration.
Jenny.
Kristen.
You know that our Super Bowl is coming up.
What we Mother's like to do. Day.
Mother's Day. It is approaching. And might I just say, it is also our 10-year anniversary, which is kind of exciting.
So send us flowers, everybody.
Wait, send us flowers. It's weird. We're going to tell you how to do that just right now. If you're still trying to figure out what to do for Mother's Day, look no further than Teleflora. It's a really great choice when you want to send something that feels genuinely thoughtful. Their bouquets are made by local florists and hand-delivered instead of just being packed up and shipped in a box.
I love Teleflora. You know, when I send your mom flowers, and I do believe I owe her some flowers right now because I need to send her some for Mother's Day.
Don't you do it before I do it.
What I do, I always use Teleflora because they're made by like local artists. I know it's going to get there on time. I know it's going to be beautiful. Just sending your mom flowers really like gives your mom, who's always feeling like, am I doing this right? Flowers are like, love you, mom. You are doing a good job. Here's the one day I'll remind you.
Use promo code IMOMSOHARD20 for 20% off bouquets now through Mother's Day. Again, that's teleflora.com. Promo code IMOMSOHARD20.
No, I do have to tell this story because I don't know if I've told it to you before, where I literally did get dehydrated, where I was in Vegas and I was there like doing a work thing and I hadn't drank all day. Like I just had like driven in from LA. I had probably had venti coffee or something like that. It was August. It was like a million degrees.
Oh, no.
I was working. And then my husband and I went to dinner and we were sitting at dinner. I was like, I don't feel very well. I think I feel nauseous. I have to go to the bathroom. And I took like 10 steps and I collapsed in the bathroom of the restaurant at the Palms Hotel. And I do have to say, factual is they came up and before they were like, ma'am, are you okay? They were like, ma'am, please sign this, and saying that we didn't have any. Yes, they totally did. They totally did. But it was just dehydration from like, and I guess because we were staying on the 25th floor.
Because you're in the desert.
An elevation like makes it worse. So when I went up to the room to change clothes, I got really, so I do. But you know what? You're right. I didn't pee for several days. So,
Thank you. So if somebody would have just flipped you over, put water in your
butt, my butt would have been fine.
It's Vegas. It's not like they haven't seen weird stuff.
I did see somebody give me a pamphlet for that. I wish I would have held on to it.
Now you can just go get an IV drip of whatever. I'm so glad those weren't there when I didn't like Vegas when I was young, but if I did and I went, I think I would have invested in the drop bag of vitamins that make you not hungover, and then I would be currently an alcoholic.
Well, yeah. I mean, they did say, like, one of my friends was telling me that worked in the medical field. She's like, you should have just gone to the ER and gotten fluids. Like, and I was, because that's the easiest way. Instead, though, I had like 16
Mai Tais
Gatorades. Yeah. So I changed my DNA in the process because.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. In case anybody's wondering why my background is a hotel, should I say why my.
No, you didn't.
I'm in a hotel. And that's all you need to know about my life is I'm in a hotel. I'm in a hotel.
Don't read into that. Everything's fine.
No, everything's fine. My family's joining me. I'm not that blessed. Like,
just had to leave the house for a couple days.
It's fine.
Get into that. It's some other point.
I am such a nomad right now that it's not hard for me to go anywhere. Like, literally, I went to the front desk and I was like, you got a place where I can podcast? And they're like, no, ma'am. Can you just check into your room early? Yep. Okay, great. And then I had like 18 bags as I was going. I was like, these are my kids. They'll be coming after school. And then I'm leaving for Camp Girardeau tomorrow. So Everything's cool, you guys. So if you can hear this 1972 AC behind me, that's what's happening. And
well, next time I would like to see you podcast from a hot tub with a chicken Sammy in your hand, because that does sound like a little bit of heaven.
Yes,
I do think it would be. When we're on the road, we should try and figure out how to podcast from the weirdest place possible, like inside of a sauna. Or
I know, with the sound, but yes, I agree with that. I think that would be hilarious if we're like at the bar, just having like the best French dip sandwich.
Kristen's on the other side of the bar, and so we're we can see each other, but our mics are.
Yes. Well, my son, so we're in this hotel. There's people working at our house, and we're in this hotel tonight and tomorrow night, and my kids love it because it's down the street, so like not a big deal for them. My son loves hotels. Here's what I'm going to tell you about my son. I know my son thinks that we live in like the messiest house ever. He comments all the time about how someday he's going to have his own apartment. His counters are going to always be clean. And then I was like, God, kind of bullshit. My counters are not messy. Like there's decor, but they're not messy. My room's a shithole. That's my business. But the downstairs is clean. Like it's 100% clean. And might I just say that my son will leave a trail that I have to pick up after him. So I think in his perception of his brain, he is a neat freak, but I don't know how to tell him he is not.
Because he doesn't see who's actually doing the picking up in his life.
No, he put 35 Band-Aids on his feet for soccer last night and left all 35 shredded Band-Aid wrappers out. And I was like, oh, you sweet, neat little type air in the land of delusion. So my son, when we go to hotels, I see the relief on his face. Because that old timer, literally, first thing he'll do, what do? Takes off his pants so he can just be in his undershorts. And then he puts on the hotel robe if we've got one. Then he'll set up his charging station, which takes all of the outlets. There's three other people in the room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He takes the charging station and makes it his own. And if you dare touch one of his chargers, it's over. This kid is going to be a financial bro or pharmaceutical rep or something that requires... Because he's so happy to get like a hotel key.
I'm seriously Googling, like, at what age do humans begin to regard other humans if that is going to be a part of their life plan? Because my daughter would come in and be like, there's only two beds. I need both. Because they plan to like jump from one to the other. So,
100%. My son said to me, because he knows that we fly first class when we go on the road. We do that because we have a billion points so we can upgrade. And it's sometimes
the work of it is the travel.
Yeah.
Doing the show is very fun.
I make zero apologies for that. It is sometimes the only thing we get. And my son knows that we travel first class. So when we were talking about going on our next family vacation, which by the way, will all be paid for on miles once again and is always budget travel, my son's like, can I go ahead and upgrade to first class? I'll pay for the upgrade. And I go, with what money? And B, no. And C, just for yourself? You're going to go to first class and the three of us are going to be hanging back in coach. Like, are we going to walk by you and you're not going to act like you know us? Is that the next
thing? Make eye contact with him. Don't you dare.
Do you think you're going to get off that flight and there's going to be a car waiting for you?
Like, guy's going to have 2 to 3 Bloody Marys. He's going to be causing a ruckus, slapping the flight attendants on the tuchus.
No, he absolutely would never do that because he knows there would be a fist come from the ether that would just like, bow, 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 bow.
Well, when we went to Costa Rica, we upgraded everybody. We had the whole...
We used the whole all of our miles.
First section of Alaska Airlines to Kristen and my families. And my son, what was he, 9, is like, I'm going to read the New York Times because he's like, when in first class?
He's like,
the flight attendant was like, does he read the paper? I'm like, today he does.
Yeah,
but
they
no.
all act like they're like 62 years old and in retirement and like, or they're in their final years of being a CEO. And you know what? I think it's good for them because we have that ability. Sometimes every 5 years we take a vacation and Jen and I do together and try to like make it as fun as we can because we work so many days out of the week. And but in those 5 years, it's all coach. So I think it's good for them to get to see what hard work gets you. And then also go back to the reality that we will quickly be taking a Southwest flight to go see your grandmother in Houston. Like, there is no, we are not those people. We are Marriott, Bonvoy, use your points, budget travel people. And then if you want better for yourself, go get better for yourself. I hope that's what you want. I hope that's what you want.
I think he doesn't know how much it is to upgrade the ticket. Otherwise, he would not be suggesting that.
I don't think he understands what dollar bills are. Okay.
Exactly. Oh,
because
yeah.
Because he's like, I'll pay for it myself. And I'm like, with your, I don't know how much you think the tooth fairy has left you, but all in, your entire mouth wouldn't get you like the left ass cheek of a first class flight.
It is, it's all magical math because like my, my daughter is playing basketball, which we've attempted before. And
with all the boys.
No, this is, she's old enough now that they have girls league and my son's on boys league. But it's also like we've been trying to just find the sport that they like. They both like soccer, but they're not like diehard soccer people. And it might be, let me say this gently, my husband accepting the fact eventually that maybe they're not sporty kids. It's maybe not like what they're into. Like, I mean, they like, but they have to do something. They have to do something physical. So the thing we're on right now is basketball. And they're kind of playing a lot of catch up because a lot of the other kids have like played for a while or like been on teams. So they have like the concept. So we show up, we order Delilah this nifty checkered like 80s basketball that's like powder blue and pink. And we're like, she's going to love this. She's going to love to play with this basketball. And we ordered the wrong size.
Oh, yeah.
So, which I don't think either one of us had considered that being a thing. So first practice, I bring her this Monday and the coach is like, oh, hey, sorry. He's really sweet. He's a friend of ours. This is the wrong size. She can use it for like drills at home, but, for practice, she needs a regular size one, like tosses it back. And as the ball's bouncing over, I shout across the gym in which there are four teams practicing. It's my husband's fault. It's my husband's fault. He should have known better. I don't play sports. I don't do them. I don't. And
I don't deal with the size of the balls. I just deal with the balls.
No, I know how to see a large ball. If ball. I see it, like, I know, but I, if it's an oversized ball, I can identify that.
And that's probably
a grossly undersized ball. I think I could as well.
Yeah.
But I did what I do, which is get on Amazon immediately. And order the right size ball because I see what size my husband ordered. And then my daughter comes out not understanding basketball or American currency. And she's like, oh, I wanted one exactly like the other one, only bigger. And I'm like, well, they don't have that. They have, I saw that, but it's $35. And you, my little one, don't need a $35 basketball because you are wearing Eleanor's hand-me-down basketball shoes because you are... not even vaguely committed to playing this sport. You, it's
I think
like
I have
teeth.
Other shoes for you, by the way. Don't buy any because
I'm not paying $35 for a basketball. I'm like, you're lucky you're not using the sun, like bleached one, gross one that's like covered in like dead bugs and stuff from down like in the backyard.
Let me tell you something. I'm raising kids that will someday pour themselves a full glass of orange juice and feel like they're breaking the law. Okay. Cause I'm a half glass of orange juice person. Cause that's who I was as a kid. It was liquid gold. And that's how you understood currency. I was like, you don't get a full glass of orange juice. That's too much money. You get a half glass of orange juice. So someday, wherever they are, when they're paying for their own orange juice, they'll get a full glass of orange juice. And then they'll understand economics because that is when you know. When you can pour yourself your own damn glass of orange juice, you're financially on your own. And I have nothing to say about that.
I mean, when this economy goes tits up, we could honestly use orange juice as the currency. Like, because every family's got it. And is like, the points in my airline miles in orange juice, I am so protective of that. Like if I see like a glass, like a quarter of a glass, because they're not allowed to pour a whole glass. There's no way. Half glass or below, because you're not going to finish it. If I see some left in the glass, I'm pouring it back in the thing. Yep. And if you don't want backwash, then you got to get on board and you got to finish whatever you pour.
I remember when I was at my house, a friend came over in the middle of the day. I can't remember who it was. I remember it wasn't one of like my regular friends because they knew, because we all ran, my parents and their parents all ran the same organization, which was Cheap. And my friend goes, I was like, you want water? It was basically like water or milk back in the day. And I was like, you want a glass of water? Do you want? And my friend goes, I'll have a glass of orange juice. And I was like, in the middle of the afternoon?
That's an option.
Harry Hensley to explode? Like, what kind of money grab are you going for right now? You going to steal something? Like, that is, we didn't deal with that kind of shit. And I never stayed in a hotel that had a mini bar, but you can just automatically assume no mini bar.
Also, a million bucks.
Not even, most of the time, my mom and I would split a popcorn at the movies, but that was kind of it. She would like bring in some M&Ms in her bag and tell us to shh. But like, we didn't do that stuff. We didn't get the big foam fingers. We did fun stuff every now and then, but it was campsites and holiday inns.
We were a solidly pro wings family. We did not. Yeah, I did not have kids on the back of my shoes. Maybe if I asked for them for like my birthday or Christmas or something like that. But no, we were not like brandy whatsoever. I mean, Kristen, she goes, oh, I got so hungry the other night that I broke it in the mini bar and I got gummy bears. And I was like, we're never going to financially recover from this, Kristen.
No, I said
$32 for gummy bears.
That is not what happened. I told you what happened. I said I got nervous because I picked up the gummy bears and then I realized what I was doing. And I was afraid there was a sensor, but then I realized we were at a Marriott.
But that's what I worry about. That's like, you know, Temple of Doom, you know, where you like move the idol and then like the giant ball of financial ruin comes towards you.
So then I promptly walked down to the front desk with a full buzz because we had had a martini and a mojito. So I got hungry. So I went down to the front desk in my pajamas, trying to pretend like I was totally fine. And I was like, I touched a gummy bear. But I didn't enter
my account.
Can I please get a DiGiorno pizza from your freezer?
That doesn't count as an incidental. Ma'am, can you spell incidental right now?
Yes, but I have a lisp, so it's going to come out. It's just how I talk.
I know. So my kids, they get it so much. And it's the exact same mindset that they have about like the Starbucks thing. Is like, I used to think my dad was so cheap and it bothered me, but like I am absolutely becoming that because I go to Starbucks. I was like, I'm going to get all the kids at this birthday party Starbucks gift cards so they can get like one drink. No, it's $7 all in to get the smallest drink at Starbucks now. And I was like, used to have like a $5 to $10 one. I made the lady make 15 $7 ones because I'm like, I'm not doing, we're not rounding up on these. God, no.
I'll tell you, the thing that killed me about, I never like when I fall in to the game. Like if, like the second, like, okay. If you haven't read Susie Orman's 9 Steps to Financial Freedom, I highly recommend. It's a very strong book about how to get yourself out of debt. It's a little bit older, but it's real brass tacks. And I like the way she talks because she sounds bossy and I like it. She talked about the coffee game. Like, are you such a fool that you can make yourself a cup of coffee at home, buy the nicest coffee maker that you want, buy the best coffee you can get, make yourself a cup of coffee at home with all your fixins, and at the most, that cup of coffee is going to cost you a dollar, like at the very most, because you can do Keurig or whatever. And then think about, you're going to go to Starbucks and you're going to have somebody make you that exact same cup of coffee and you're going to pay $7. Are you honestly that big of a fool that you're going to let that game beat you because of it's being convenient? And listen, I'm the first to admit that like those sandwiches and going through the drive-thru, it's very convenient. But I think about it every single time I buy one. I'm like, if I go to home, I can just make myself a cup of coffee. It's not so much better that it's worth 500% more than, you know what I mean? Because like sometimes going to a bar and paying a lot for a drink, I'm like, it's nice being out. I can't make that at home either. I'm not going to make a mojito at home. It's messy.
No, but I did when I was probably like in my early 20s, I did that back in my sales days in the car and before Sirius XM radio and all of that stuff, I would listen to AM talk radio because I turned 95 very young. And so I would listen to Dave Ramsey and I did his
He's great.
And I've recommended it to so many people because it absolutely makes sense. And I think some of that like sticks in there because I'm always like, my whole thing is like, how am I going to pay my house off? I just want to have my house paid off. Like that's my whole like driving force in my life. I'm like, I'm not naturally great at money. So that's why I'm like trying to teach my kids like better. And I'm telling you.
I think it's orange juice. Go with the orange juice. It's visual. Don't ever pour more than half a glass. Have them be afraid of orange juice, but then when they get their own orange juice and then they realize how much it costs, they pour a full glass. Maybe they can't even drink it. Oh, they're pouring it back in just like we do. And you know what? That's the greatest math you'll ever teach them is when it's their own. Because I'll tell you something. Kids get real frugal when it's their own money. When it's
God. They don't want it anymore. If you're like, okay, you can buy it with your money. They're like,
Yep. Looks I less said, appealing. Finn got this. Finn is actually, I mean, I won't tell him this, but he is organized. He is tidy. He's easy as long as we're doing what he wants, but he is easy kind of in general. Like he doesn't have expensive tastes. This kid wore the same pair of Adidas tennis shoes. And then I saw them and I was like, oh good God, everyone's going to think we're like going through financial hardship. We've got to like, how long have these shoes been this way? Like, yes. I just won't notice with him. And he wears the uniform to school. So it's kind of like, I don't know, but this kid is, he measures what he has to do and how much he has. And he's good at kind of saving. I think I was kind of the same as a kid. I wasn't very impulsive when it came to money. And if I had to pay for it, I was definitely not impulsive.
Yeah. No.
Eleanor, on the other hand, is like, Sephora is so fun and reasonably priced.
That's the pitch I give to my husband, too, about Sephora, but that's not true.
Oh, they went in, and Eleanor goes, I think Mom has a lot of Sephora points. And Eleanor was telling me the story, and my face was getting hot. And I was like, what, throw me under the bus, sister? And so then they looked at my account, and the lady's face visibly went, whoa. And my husband was like, wait, you get those for spending money at Sephora? And I was like, walk it back.
Yes,
because we buy everything from Sephora everywhere when we are on tour. Ugh.
Well, also, I use my points.
Iman would be so mad at me.
I use my points to get the travel sizes because we travel so much, too.
I'll use points anywhere you let me. But I don't always think that traveling points are worth it. Sometimes I think they're absolute horseshit. Don't get me started, Bond boy.
Yeah.
One time we were in a hot tub in a real C-plus hotel, and Jen and I were having many glasses of wine after a very long, many days of touring, and Jen started on this bit about every single person that walked by. She'd go, I am a platinum Bonvoy member.
And turn up this hot tub now.
I thought it was the funniest shit. I was laughing so hard, and it was the next day I was like, maybe it wasn't that funny, but to me and the seven other people in that hot tub, I found it hilarious.
I'll tell you, these two ladies, yes, had enjoyed a couple of cocktails because we were convinced that the couple across from us were spies, and they weren't not spies.
They weren't not spies. Yeah. Okay. So that needs more storytelling. Okay. So Jen and I are in the hot tub. And this younger couple gets in, and they're hot to trot. And we're thinking, are they at a convention? They're definitely going to hook up.
We went where every middle-aged person's brain goes. If I were young and I looked like that, that would spend this entire weekend naked. Yeah.
But here's what you have to imagine. The hot tub is not very big.
Nope.
And Jen and I were directly across from them. And they were kind of like flirting with each other. And Jen and I were directly 3 feet away from them, eyeballing them and having a conversation about them in front
about
of them.
And I'll tell you, just so you can visualize, there were three large farmers from the middle of the state who were there for some sort of convention, who their wives were I Mom So Hard fans, and we hit it off. But it was a tight hot tub of uncomfortableness, specifically for this young couple.
We're a few drinks in, and we think that there's like a sound barrier between us and them, to which there is not. And all of a sudden, we're like, "What do you guys do?" And so we're thinking, like, maybe they're dentists, and this is like the American Dental Association, and who knows, they're gonna play fast and loose, and they're gonna hook up. But they started to tell us what their jobs were, and Jen and I were like, "I think they're lying."
Like, it was weird. Neither one. Yeah. They're so bad at it.
They were so bad at it, and they were like, "We sell garage doors."
Insurance.
We're like, Jen and I are holding our wines, like, we listen to a lot of true crime.
That sounds like bullshit to me. What about you, Kristen?
I don't know if you know what an incidental is, but you can't just go to your room and get whatever you want, gummy bear.
Hey, do you happen to know anything about what happens if you take gummy bears off of a...
Because if you do, then I know you work for the FBI.
And they did. They were like a white collar crime division or something like that.
Yeah, they totally squealed. I was like, you guys are terrible at your job. Like, you literally just squealed to five of the loudest people in a hot tub, and you're going to hook up, which I'm sure is against the rules.
I think they were banking on us keeping a lot of secrets, and I think it's because they thought we were too tipsy to remember those secrets. But now here we are.
We're until exactly right now.
We are podcasting them several years later, all the details in a very murky way. So
I'd like to think that those guys are now married with like a toddler, and now she has to listen to us. And she was, I think she was like, oh man, I met him when I was fit and young.
Those were the days.
Ready to hook up with this random named Brandon. And then Brandon turns out to be my husband, and now he sucks.
Maybe we're not saying that you sucked, sir, but you know, there's always in either one of them legitimately could have sucked.
He was more charming than she was charming.
I don't know.
Maybe I just found him more attractive.
He was cute. Okay. So this is what I was thinking. I'm going to go. Val Kilmer's IMDb is just pages and pages. Oh,
we're going
and
back to Val. Knock it out.
Well,
I know them all.
I feel like we should circle back to Val because
this is our hot flash today and for many days. I just love to think about what he gave us as an artist. I think I'm going to go back and watch so many movies, Tombstone and
yes,
The Saint. Well,
I'm going to tell you.
Really messed me up.
So in 1984. Do you want to guess what his first movie was? We've said it earlier. Top Secret.
1986.
Then he got one episode on an ABC After School special.
Nice.
And then he did Real Genius right into Top Gun.
Oh my God, that's right. I loved Real Genius.
The trajectory of his career is insane. Like he just was like on camera and they were like, oh, you're a superstar.
Did he go, since you have it open, I think he went to Juilliard. If memory serves.
Oh, did he?
He went to Juilliard. What I think is so poetic is I think that guy at the heart of him is this like true artist. And the last thing he did was like this one man show about Mark Twain. And that's when his throat started to have issues. So yeah. There's something about, I was saying it before, about him that feels like a true movie star that I feel like he's just gone too soon.
Let me tell you why I'm confused, because Jim Morrison also went to Juilliard for a brief stint. Yes.
So did Robin Williams.
Oh, okay. So then the next huge one I would say is The Doors. Then remember this one? True Romance.
Oh my God. Yes. It's one of my favorite. Tarantino wrote it, didn't direct it. One of my favorite movies starring Christian Slater. And
if you are a Gen Xer.
Wait.
He plays in? Elvis. He plays Elvis, the mentor, the voice in his head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That if you're a Gen Xer, that is like it has to be in your
it
top
has to be
five.
That scene. Oh my God. I think it actually is a metaphor of what being a Gen Xer is.
Oh my God.
Tarantino is ours.
I want to watch that movie again now.
Oh my God. True Romance was forever one of my favorites.
Okay. Then Tombstone, and I'm skipping like a ton of these.
I know, because he does a lot of cool, weird stuff.
Tombstone Batman. Remember, he was Batman forever.
I loved him in Batman. And I think he loved being Batman. He has a wonderful
Heat,
mouth.
He's an island of Dr. Moreau. Okay, here's a deep cut because, you know, I love the B-sides. The Ghost in the Darkness.
It was so good.
My God, he's so good in it. And the story's so good.
In everything. You haven't even gotten to my favorite one yet. Go ahead.
I haven't. Okay, so The Saint.
Saint, 17 different characters he plays.
Is that your favorite?
It's one of my top favorites, but it's Tombstone is my favorite with him, and I think it's my favorite Western ever. But keep going, because I'm going to go into my weird space.
Oh, I'm going to go into weird space. This one destroyed me. Wonderland.
Wonderland was great.
Oh, my God. What's her name is in it? The from blonde from Friends. Why can't I think of it? Phoebe. Kudrow. Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow, yeah.
Played his just pain-struck wife. It filleted me. Oh, my God. That movie is so good.
That's not the one. That's too heady for the one I'm talking about. Okay. I'm talking about Willow.
Oh, yeah. No, I... Yep. Yeah. That's
I went
that was
a
like his
dark
movie.
Crystal... Like, if it's in that, like, medieval, you know, maybe there's a little, like, I will kiss you kind of tussle. That's...
Yeah. I think a lot of people found Willow, you know, sexually confusing.
I was so... Val Kilmer in that long, weird hair, and he's funny, and he's, like, he met his wife on the set, and then they got married for quite some time, and then divorced, I think. But she was still very much a part of his life, because they had babies together.
I know. And the last public picture of him is with his daughter, Mercedes. And yep. It was like 5 years ago. Like he just stayed inside after that. So it's an incredible loss. And we thank you, Val Kilmer, for all the art that you brought to us.
So go rewatch those things. Like bring them back. Like he left us with these things we get to rewatch and explore and also share with our kids if your kids are of a certain age and you... Real Genius is just a good ass time. Top Secret is stupid. It's so funny. It's a seventh grade movie. Like, get ready for nothing intelligent and everything funny.
He made like characters that you would fall in love with that you shouldn't, which is like really says something about his skill as an actor that it like, which I'm like, this is why Tony Soprano actor is so hot. He made you fall in love with this like detestable being, like, made them dimensional and interesting.
Okay, let me just say this, and I've said it before on a podcast, but I love to relive these things because you should let people repeat themselves because clearly there's magic in their moments. That's what I say to my husband. My husband likes to take magic out of stuff. James Gandolfini came to the bar that I bartended at, and I was so busy. And it was so many people. And it was like just one of those nights where you just felt like you were sweating through your shirt and nobody cared. It was a fancy place, but like bartending isn't fancy. So you always felt like everybody outside of the bar is having so much fun and you're like trapped in this space. So I just remember being like, it's like 8 o'clock. It's packed. I knew it was going to be the longest night ever. And I look over and James Gandolfini's like leaning against the wall. Mm. And he looked at me and he goes, "Hey, kid." And I.
Oh, my God. I'm not. Give me a second. Give me a second.
And it was with that gravelly voice as though to say, "I see you." And Mr. Gandolfini, I dorked out. I'm sure you regretted it immediately because I was 100% weird after that, like looking at him as much as I could. But he didn't. He was cool the whole night. And he like tipped me like a champ. He only came to the bar one time. But as he did, he like slid me $100. I was like, "That's what you do."
Oh my gosh.
It's what you do when you're cool.
Yeah.
Man, both of those guys we've lost. And that's too too many artists gone too soon.
Let's stop time right now. Let's write a letter to somebody and end this
dear diary
going by too fast shit.
I can't afford to keep my hair brown. Please part.
Oh God. Did we just podcast?
I think we podcasted. Shout out to all the people we love and Val Kilmer's family.
Pioneer.